Thank you, ladies. We are in Psalm chapter 19. I keep wanting to say this evening, this afternoon, but it's an evening service. For the summertime on Sunday nights, we're going to look at some of the different psalms. We're having a series. I'm calling it the Songs of Life. We understand, if you've studied it all, the book of Psalms is many things. By the way, I think in our Bible reading, we are reading through the book of Psalms right now. And so if you're reading through it, you understand Psalms is a bit of a devotional guide. It's also a prayer book. But most importantly, the book of Psalms is a hymnal. It's a book of songs that were written, of course, God's word, with unchanging truth. And I want us, as we look at some of these different psalms, we'll learn some truths that are very, very key to things that God wants us to have in our lives. The book of Psalms, many of them give prayers. Some of them are just really honest. They talk about problems. And others of them are just about praise. But they are songs filled with great truth that, if we learn them, can help us in our life. I like the songs we sing. We had some great singing this morning, the choir and the two girls specials that we've had, and the songs in the choir book. I very much enjoy those. And really, when we think of godly music and we think of the scripture that the book of Psalms was a psalm book, there it's a little bit different than a lot of the music that passes off as Christian music today. God is interested in godly Christian music, by the way, for us. There's several things here that I mentioned, but God's, when we have the right kind of music, godly music, it takes us into his presence. Psalm chapter 100 and verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. We don't just sing because it's like a filler material for the service. We think about the words of the song as we're singing together, and it allows us to come into the presence of the Lord. It's also an outflow of the Spirit's working in my life. Psalm chapter 5, verse 18 and 19 says, be not drunk with wine where is an excess. Don't be controlled by wine. Be filled with the Spirit, controlled by him. What happens when we are speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord? And so when we're Spirit-filled, or where the Spirit of God is working in our life, we're going to have the right kind of music, and we're going to enjoy the right kind of singing and music. And it's also a way to teach the truth of Scripture. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So we're going to look at the truth of these songs, but we do need to understand by way of inference that the music we listen to, the music that's a part of our life, is very, very important. I've said this over and over and over, but as a Christian, you will never rise any higher than the level of the music that you have in your life. You just won't. You can sit there and come to church 100 times a week, and if you're listening to music that is not godly or not right, you're going to be held back. That's just all there is to it. I see it so clearly. If you listen to godless music, you're going to have more of a tendency to be a godless individual. If you listen to worldly music, you're going to have more of a tendency to be a worldly type of individual. If you listen down to watered-down Christian music, you will have a tendency to be a watered-down Christian. But if you listen to spiritual, godly music that challenges you, you will have more of a tendency to be a spiritual, godly Christian. One whole book of the Bible, the biggest book of the Bible, is really a book of songs that teach us. And so tonight, I keep saying that, it's afternoon, we're going to start with Psalm chapter 19. Apart from Psalm chapter 119, which I believe we taught on Thursday nights last summer, Psalm 19 is one of the greatest psalms in the book about this truth of God's word. And I think that's especially important to us as we go into the summer. We talked on Thursday night about being ready for the summer and how we can be spiritual through the summer and all of that. And really, a lot of it is related to God's word. This psalm was written by David. The emphasis is on God's revelation of himself to man. And in the psalm, he talks about two ways God revealed himself to man. The first part of this psalm, God revealed himself to man by creation. OK, okay? By the way, that's why it's very foolish for someone to believe in evolution or be an atheist. God's creation points to a creator. And it doesn't just point to a creator, it points to a it points to an all-powerful, all-knowing creator. And I just don't see how someone can believe that we, you know, that once upon a time there was nothing and it exploded and boom! And then a bolt of lightning hit some water and life created. That's foolishness. We are a special creation of God, made in His image, and He loves us very much. But in the last part of the chapter, he talks about the revelation of the Word, Scripture, and how that works in our lives. God wants us to know His Word. God's Word is very important to us. God's Word is very powerful. God created the world by His Word. And God said, and it was so. God just spake this world into existence. And so in this chapter, he defines certain aspects of the Lord. He ascribes attributes. He says the law is perfect. It has no blemish. He says his testimonies are sure. It's not a false witness. It is absolutely true. The statutes of the Lord are right, in spite of what we hear in our world and what our society is telling us that go against God's word. We know without a shadow of a doubt, if God's word says it, if it goes against everything that's being said in this world, God's word is right, and everything else, what we're being told, is wrong. God's commandments are pure. And because they are pure, they are not defiled, and they take us down a pure path, and his judgments are true and righteous. So he then details what the Bible and all its different aspects can do in our life. See, what we need to understand about the Word of God, it isn't just some book of facts. It isn't just something we carry to church and we open it up once a week. It's not something we look into as a matter of religious duty. The Bible is a transformational book. In other words, the truths of Scripture can transform and should transform your life as well as my life. And that is the purpose of God's Word, to transform our lives. So I want to encourage you this summer, do not forget your Bible. Don't let it get away from you. Whether you're hearing it preached in church or whether you're out and about and reading it each and every day, whether you're on vacation, whatever you're doing, God's Word is vitally important. Forgetting the Bible is a guarantee that you will not be a Christian who has been transformed. And by the way, transformation is a process. It doesn't just happen and it's over. It's something we must constantly do. And you have one of two options. You will either be, when you become a Christian, you will either get into God's Word and let God's Word transform your life, or you will be a nominal Christian, and you will be conformed to this world. So that's our choices. Are we going to be transformed by the Word, or are we going to be conformed to this world? The choice is ours. I choose to try to let the Bible transform me, and I pray that that's your choice also. So if we are going to be a different Christian, as the Bible tells us, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. How does that happen? What is the tool that God uses? God uses His Word to transform us. Now, I see in this chapter, in the last section where he talks about Scripture, seven ways the Bible transforms us. You say, man, it was 9 this morning, 7 this afternoon. It's not going to be long, trust me. Number one, first of all, it transforms us inwardly. Inwardly. Look at verse 7 of Psalm chapter 19. The first part of the verse. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Okay? It works in our souls, and it works inside of us to take us from being simple to being wise. It converts our soul. It works on us inwardly. It is perfect. It converts or changes us. All transformation takes place inwardly. You know, Proverbs tells us, I forget the verse exactly, but, you know, if you beat a fool enough times, he'll do what you tell him to do. That's conforming. But as soon as the beating stops, now that is over. the circus, I think the circus has been outlawed, right? You can't, they want to have circuses without animals now. And it's like kind of having SeaWorld without the fish shows. Like, why go? It's a waste of time. But I remember years ago, I took our little ones down to the circus in Long Beach, and the lion tamer came. And they had the lions come in, and they had these little round little button type things that kind of go up, and different lions, he would get them to come in and sit up on those things. They came in one at a time. And the lions obeyed, as long as he beat them. He had a whip, and whap, he put the first one up there. And I found it interesting that the second one came in, and as he's directing the second one, the first one every now and then it stepped down like, are you paying attention? And he like, back on your thing. And as long as he had his whip and he was keep, now they were fighting it the whole time, but as long as he was beating them, they stayed up there. They'd step down, but they'd go right back up. That's not how transformation works. Transformation is an inward thing where God works inside of us and he works in our soul and he makes us different. And it always starts on the inside. God wants to change us. That's what Romans 12 is talking about. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. He says it starts on the inside. If you're going to be metamorphosized, you're going to be changed, your inside changes, and therefore the rest of you will come after, outwardly. It's like the story of the rebellious child, and he was giving the teacher trouble, and he kept standing up in class, and the teacher was getting mad and said, you're going to go to the principal's office, sit down. And the kid sat down, and he looked at her and said, but I'm standing in my heart. That's how most Christians are. We're fighting it on the inside. Let the word of God get in you. Psalm chapter 1, verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. God's word is always on the forefront of our minds and our hearts. It's always there. And when a situation in life arises, we think about the word that we've allowed to be a part of us. But most of us forget it so quickly. Joshua, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Let the Bible change you inwardly. Get it in your life. Get it in your soul, and you'd be surprised. As a non-Christian, there was even things in my life as a non-Christian I didn't like, and I'm going to change that. And I couldn't. But it seems as soon as I got saved and as soon as I started reading my Bible and serving God and going to church, that truth I was getting in my mind, those things just kind of went away. It wasn't a big fight. It wasn't a big struggle. Why? I fought before and I couldn't do it, but now it wasn't a struggle. Why? Because God was changing me from the inside. Before, I was just trying to conform. And so it transforms us inwardly. But secondly, it also transforms us outwardly. That part that says, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. What is wisdom? Ability to apply God's word to everyday life. See, we were simple. We didn't know any better. But now that we're saved and we're getting scripture in us and we're learning God's truth, it takes us from being simple and not understanding things to comprehending what God says and how it works out and how it should play out in our life. That's wisdom. Anything that happens to us inwardly should change us outwardly. That's just a natural progression. Wisdom, by the way, is not IQ. Some of the godless people are some of the most intelligent people. Some of the best criminals, if you want to say best, but big, they're not idiots, but they're not wise. Wisdom is when you can apply. So it does, you say, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. You don't have to be the sharpest knife in the drawer to be the wisest person. You can have a life of a higher quality and a better, just better in every single way than someone who has a high IQ but doesn't know God, simply because you know God's testimony, simply because God's word is working in you and it's coming out from you. You cannot help but be changed outwardly when God's word dwells inwardly. Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in mine heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. When God's word is inward, our life is changed outwardly. That's why I don't like this new type of Christianity that says it doesn't matter what you're like on the outside, as long as you got a good heart on the inside. Only half of that's true. have a good heart on the inside, but a result of having that through the scripture is your life will be different. Not just so we look better or all that stuff or some phony false facade. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a genuine life, a genuine love for Christ, a genuine desire to try to be right and do good in every aspect of our life. How do we do that? We do that as scripture changes us inwardly, and then we change outwardly. Now, I know some people can give evidence that they're different inwardly, but they're faking it outwardly. And I get that. It's not right. And who you are will eventually come out. When a tree, when it dies inwardly, for a while it looks fine outwardly, but eventually it takes over and the tree is done. It'll come out. But that's no excuse for not trying to do right and let God's word change me on the outside. People can fool you. You remember the Subway guy, Jared? How many remember him? The guy that lost a bunch of weight eating sandwiches? I guess he didn't know the keto diet because there was a lot of bread there. But he was a famous spokesman for many years. You know, you say, man, whatever happened to him? He's not a spokesman. He got caught dealing in child pornography. Really nice guy. Spokesman for a cut. You don't know what's there. But I know this. Let God work on the inside, and my outside will be right in the right way. That's why some of you straw, you know, I'll keep the rules here as long as I'm here, but as soon as I'm out from my, I'm going to go do my own thing, because you didn't get your heart. You didn't let God get a hold of you. Our schools aren't just, I'll say this, our schools aren't just about teaching you how to read and write, although we'll teach you how to read and write. A lot better than you'll be in taught public schools, by the way. We'll teach you all those things, but also, if you don't get a relationship with God, you've missed everything. Some of you college kids, you know, well, you know, I'm not in full-time service, and you kind of go out and float your own thing. You missed it. It was about you and your relationship with God, and that's what church is about. It's about coming here and hearing God's word and letting God work on us inwardly. Transforms us emotionally. Look at verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. That changes our attitudes. I mean, you know, and I get it. Some of us, how many of you, it's not a bad thing, because I'm there. How many of you naturally look at things from a bit of a negative stint? In other words, you see the bad, right? I mean, and that's probably why I probably wasn't a good coach. You know, our team would win by 30, and it's like, sit down. We won, but you didn't do this right. You didn't do that right. That was wrong. And they're like, you know, we didn't win by one. I'm like, yeah, we should have won by 50, okay? You know, you come in and your wife's cleaned the whole house and you see one thing. Hey, who didn't put the dustpan away? Okay, now, okay, put the dustpan away. But some of us have that negative bent. But some of us, our attitudes are just not becoming a Christian. How does that change? God's word. God's word gives us a better perspective. Even in times of difficulty, we can still have joy. We have joy. We had I probably shouldn't say this, but it's okay. We had a guy one time at the old building. I came for faithfulness rally, and this guy was there, and I didn't know who he was. And I'm like, hey, how are you doing? I asked his name. Hey, what's your name? He's like, you know, boom. I'm like, okay. Just really abrupt. I'm like, all right. I'm like, oh, so, you know, you live in town? Nope. Okay, you know, I asked him a couple questions like, you on vacation? Nope. Are you here for work? Nope. And that was it. And he just stared at me. And after asking about 5 or 6 questions like that, I just jokingly said, that's all I got. I don't know what else to ask. But he looked at me and he went inside. And then Pastor Esposito introduced him as, I think he was some type of traveling evangelist. That wasn't the funny part. The funny part was the name he gave me was not the name Pastor Esposito used. But I'm thinking, man, you know, was the coffee not good? I mean, look, if it goes by coffee, I love you, Brother Bichard, but that coffee was chewable this morning, okay? My cup was. I must have got the bottom of the barrel. Look, the coffee's bad. You know, the dog bit you on the way out the door. We shouldn't, and I know we all have bad mornings. I get it. But listen, as Christians, shouldn't we be happy? Shouldn't we have the joy of the Lord? I'll tell you where it comes from. Man, when you have God's word flowing through you, even when you hear the nonsense going on, it's like, I'm on the winning side. Even when there's time to get down, it's like, man, things aren't going good. But you know what? God's still got something going on. Everything's still good. But Scripture changes our attitudes. Number four, it transforms us visually. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. I believe that's talking about spiritual awareness. With His commandments are pure and enlightens our eyes, so we see things in a proper perspective. You see, so many Christians see things as, well, what's wrong with that? Have we thought about where that's going to take you? An awareness. It transforms us visually. Getting into the Word helps us to see that that once we thought was fine, maybe isn't that good for us after all. Those things we saw and we didn't really think about what they were going to accomplish in our life, now we see them from a different perspective. It helps us to look down the road, potential consequences, potential fallout. See, most people live for the here and now. You know, there's things we've talked about. We haven't allowed our kids to, we're just trying to look down the road. But we don't know Scripture. We don't know the principles of Scripture. And so things come our way and we don't think it through. And then later on, like, man, why did I allow that to go on? Why did I do that? What? Because we don't have any prudence. You know, the Bible gives us prudence. It helps us to see things not from, especially, look, if you got saved later on in life, you probably heard a lot of godless philosophies in your life, right? I mean, I was a product of the public school. And I say this half-jokingly, the best thing I ever did was drop out, to be honest with you. I got a job and right with God, and that, but can't blame it all on the school. But listen, I'm a product of the school system. I'm a product of all, I heard all kinds of stuff taught that was like, once I got saved, like, whoa, that's a little bit different philosophy there, right? And that was something to be, but you'll hear that everywhere. By the way, that's why you listen to wrong music, you're learning wrong philosophies. You watch the wrong things, you're learning wrong philosophies. You can't even listen to talk radio, you hear the wrong philosophies. But the Scripture opens our eyes to those things. Like, you know, maybe I shouldn't listen to that anymore. Maybe I should be very careful. Maybe I shouldn't be involved with that. We see things differently. The things we once avoided, now we realize we desperately need them. Before, we didn't think church was a big deal. Now we understand it's very important. Our Bible is very important. Number five, it transforms us constantly. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. In other words, His word endures, the truth endures, and so by inference in our lives, that truth will endure. And he talks about the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. What is the fear of the Lord? Understanding that I am accountable to God for everything in my life, and understanding He knows everything that I do. It isn't being a fear of the Lord, I think of is a healthy type of fear maybe a child should have for their parents. Not that parents are just going to go off on them and beat them down, but that, you know what, dad's laid some lines out there, and if I cross those lines, I'm going to have to face them. I'm going to have to face the music. And God's not trying to scare us into a relationship with Him, but He is trying to let us know, listen, you cross these boundaries, there are consequences. And by the way, let me say, the consequences of sin aren't necessarily come directly from God. They're almost built into the sin a lot of times. You do this, there's a violation, something's going to happen. Hurts a relationship. But it's very important that we understand. So it's a constant thing. We keep the fear of the Lord. When we realize we are accountable to God in our actions and attitudes, we run to His Word for guidance, and it transforms us. His Word lets us know those things. Next, it transforms us motivationally. Look at verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. When we totally understand these things, we start to really comprehend the importance of His word. and we're more motivated to be connected to God than anything else that happens in our life. More to be desired are they than gold. More than prosperity, God's word's important to me. How often is it if something happens in our life, we be more motivated to that, and it pushes us away from Scripture or even church? I had a guy, and I work with him in the warehouse in the early days of the church, and he told me one time at work, we were on break or something, he goes, I told my wife that if I win the lotto, I'll give her half and I'm leaving her immediately. Now I thought he was just messing around. Well, I got him to come, trying to reach him, so I got him to come play in our basketball league at church. And sometimes, hey, well, my wife and I will take you and your wife out if you come play. So he came to play basketball. We took him out to eat. And he sat right there. He goes, remember I told you? He goes, watch. He goes, honey, what am I going to do if I win the lotto? And she said, oh, you're going to give me half of it and you're going to leave. I'm like, what a dipstick. Major dipstick. What? Now, most people wouldn't say something that lame, but most of us, there are things we would give up for the things that we really want in life, wealth. We're willing to sacrifice things. We say God's important, but if something comes up that I want to do, we'll put God to the side for a few minutes. More to be desired are they than gold. Sweeter also than honey. When we totally get into the Word, it starts to transform us. We develop a bond with the Bible. And it's more important to us than anything else. And if it's like that, I guarantee you we would stay with it. Then verse 11, it transforms us wisely. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. It warns us of that which would steal our joy, and it warns us of that which would cause us pain. Shows us everything we're supposed to avoid. That's just really wisdom. Now let me ask you this and we're done. How important is Scripture to you? See, some of you have struggled in your Christian life mightily. Some of you, and I'm not thinking of anybody, I just know in a crowd like this, it's true. Some of you maybe, you go up and down a little bit. I mean, one day you want to win the world to Christ, the other day you can care less. One day, man, you want to be at church. The other day, it's not all that important. Why do I struggle? Because God's word's not really that big a deal to you. God's word is vital. If you get anything, get this. Get in your Bible. Got to be in your word. God cannot change us if we are not in his word. I hope you want to be transformed. I hope you want to be what God wants you to be. I hope you want to be the individual that God. Can I just tell you, you will not get there by yourself. You say, well, wait a minute. We're saved now, and once we're saved, the Spirit of God dwells inside of us. Yes, and what did Jesus tell us that the Spirit of God would do when he did come? He will what? Guide us into all truth. He uses the Scripture. The Spirit of God uses the Scriptures. We allow it to be part of our life to transform us. You know, the whole philosophy, come just as you are. Listen, when it comes to church and it comes to salvation, I'm all in. But that shouldn't be the mantra of your life. After a while, you shouldn't stay the way you are. Because God's word is working on you. But it's got to be important to you. Let's all stand this afternoon. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a minute.